How much do you know about Martin Luther King Jr.? Public radio host Tavis Smiley thinks most people know a pretty simple story of MLK that starts and ends with the 1963 March on Washington. But most don't know about the tragic turn that his life took toward the end. Smiley's new book about MLK's final year is called Death of a King. I spoke with him when he was in town last week.
He is, to my mind, the greatest Democratic, small d, public intellectual America has ever had. I even would go as far as to say, at least for me, he's the greatest American we've ever produced. And what's funny about it is when you think about it, at one point, the FBI and J. Edgar Hoover had King listed as the most dangerous man in America. I mean, think about that. Dr. King, says the FBI, says Hoover, the most dangerous man in all of America. And I've been thinking about that, and as I was researching for this text, how is it that you can be the most dangerous man in the entire country when the only weapon that you're using is love? Love is your only weapon, and that makes you the most dangerous man in the country. I think it says something about the power of love even today.
How do you think his message would have played out any differently today?
If he were here today, he'd still be talking about what he talked about then, the triple threat, as he called it, of racism, poverty, and militarism. And what this book, Death of a King, is essentially about is the last year in his life. I think most Americans think that King only gave one speech in his life, and they think the speech only had one line in it. I have a dream, of course. The speech, the one line that we all know, is I want my children to live in a nation where they'll not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And that's all we know. I think most of us think he gave that speech. They shot and killed him the next day, and it was over. Not exactly how it went. He gives that speech in 63. He's dead too young at the age of 39, but he does live five additional years after the March on Washington. And in that five-year period, he emerges, he evolves, he changes, always consistent to the notion of love and service. But he was talking increasingly about this triple threat of racism, poverty, and militarism. And were he here today, he'd still be talking about that triple threat. And what got him in trouble in the last year of his life, which is what this book is about, literally the last year, is when he came out against the war in Vietnam and called America the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today. That's a damning indictment of America. That speech caused everything and everybody to turn against him in the last year of his life. And this is the story about Dr. King that most of us just don't know.
Your latest book is about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was a Christian. I know you're a Christian. Mm-hmm. Scripture has Jesus saying, you will always have the poor among you. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you?
It means that we're not all going to be rich, and that's okay. But it does not absolve us of our responsibility. We cannot abrogate our responsibility to the poor, to the least of these. And so there have to be public policies that give people an opportunity to not remain poor. These days in our country, there's a highway into poverty, but not even a sidewalk out. And so if Dr. King were here, as we said earlier, he'd still be talking about the triple threat of racism, of poverty, and militarism. What did we just see in Ferguson, Missouri weeks ago? Racism, poverty, and militarism. And so when King, again, in that Beyond Vietnam speech, April 4, 67, says, America, you are the greatest purveyor of violence in the world, and we're going to lose our democracy if we don't deal with this triple threat of racism and poverty and militarism, the next day he wakes up and everybody and everything in the last year of his life turns against him. We don't know that. The media turned on him, and I don't mean Fox News. They weren't around then. I'm talking about the liberal media turned on him. So the media turns on him, and then Johnson, of course, turns on him because Johnson doesn't like the critique that Martin is leveling at him now about the war in Vietnam. So the White House turns on him, the media turns on him, and then white America turns on him. In the last year in his life, the last poll taken, the Harris poll found, get this, nearly three-quarters of the American people in the last year of his life thought he was irrelevant. In black America, that number is almost 60%. How is that possible that almost 60% of black people thought he was persona non grata? The NAACP and Roy Wilkins come out against him. Whitney Young and the Urban League come out publicly against him. Everybody and everything, the cosmos sort of shifts against him. So we have, how might I put this? We've so deified King in death that we haven't yet come to terms with how we demonized him in life. And as hard as it is to say this, we helped to kill King. We helped to kill him because we abandoned him in the darkest and most difficult days of his life, which for him happened to be the last year. So if you don't know King's journey in that last year, in the dark and difficult days, if all you know is I have a dream, then respectfully, you don't really know Dr. King yet.
Tavis Smiley, his latest book is Death of a King. You hear him every Friday morning, 11 o'clock on KUOW. Tavis, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me here. Good to talk to you.